Tonight, please turn with me in the Word of God to John's Gospel and to chapter 5. John's Gospel and chapter 5. If you have a church Bible, that's found on page 1070. John's Gospel, chapter 5. And I just want to read two verses, verses 28 and 29. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And tonight we're thinking of two resurrections. This morning we were thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we read part of that account as it's found there in Matthew's Gospel. That those moments when the women came to the tomb and found that the Lord Jesus was no longer in that grave, that he arose, that he is risen. And of course, that's what people all over the world today have focused on that real historic event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here, Christ speaks about two other resurrections, two different resurrections, two resurrections that are really opposite from each other. He calls one the resurrection of life, and the other he calls here the resurrection of damnation. Two resurrections. And as we shall see, really it's one resurrection. One resurrection that involves two types of people heading to two very different destinations. And the way Christ speaks here in this passage is very simple. He uses very plain language to speak about what are future events, things that are certainly going to happen at some point in the future. He doesn't speak here in a complicated way, and yet perhaps some of the matters that the Lord Jesus mentions here, perhaps you may never have thought about. Perhaps there's someone here tonight, you've never really thought about these events that Jesus Christ mentions. And so this evening, I want us just to spend a few moments on these two verses. I want us to look very carefully here at what Christ says about these two resurrections. And this, tonight, I've just got four very basic, very simple observations as we look at these two verses together. And the first observation is this. This world is coming to a conclusion. That's the first observation I want to draw to your attention here. This world is coming to a conclusion. It's approaching a moment when everything as we know it is going to be stopped, and this world is going to be changed. It's approaching this day. This world, you see, is not just going to keep on going on and on in its current state forever and ever. There's going to be an end. It's approaching an hour. Notice what he says there in verse 28. "Marvel not at this." Don't be surprised, he says, at this. Don't be shocked. He says, "For the hour is coming." The hour. A very specific time, a time known to God alone. Not even the angels know when this hour will be. But there's a point in time, there's a moment in history, an hour when everything as we know it is going to come to a conclusion, to an end. This world that we live in and on, it's been rotating, hasn't it, on its axis for these past 6,000 years, orbiting the sun year after year, just rolling on and on. But its present wicked and decaying state is going to come to a conclusion. Day after day, month after month, year after year, time has just been marching on and on and on, but it's approaching this hour. There's a definite moment, a definite hour coming when time will end. An hour when Christ says these two resurrections will take place. He says here, when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Did you note there what Christ said? It's at this hour, it's at this specific moment in time that those who are in the grave are going to hear, he says, his voice. That's the voice of the Son of God, the voice of the Son of Man. They're going to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Those who are alive are going to hear it. Those who have died are going to hear it. All are going to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. They're going to hear the voice of the one who was alive, who then died, but now is alive forevermore. And we touched on that briefly this morning. The one who died on that cross on that Friday afternoon. The one who was nailed to that wooden crucifix, lifted up to perish like an ordinary criminal. The one who died for his people's sins and was buried, who rose again bodily from the grave. He's the one who, after his resurrection, he appeared unto his disciples 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven. And Christ here speaks about this hour, this moment which this world is hurtling on towards, headlong towards. It's getting closer and closer with each passing day. Christ says it's at this hour when he shall speak and the dead shall hear. He's speaking here about the day, you see, when he's going to come again. He came once to put away sin, but he's coming again, this time without sin, unto salvation. And it's going to be at that moment that the dead will hear his voice, and these two different resurrections are going to occur. At that hour, at that moment, we read from 1 Thessalonians 4. And Paul is speaking clearly about the exact same event because he says, therefore, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. It's the same event. It's the same hour. The same moment which is approaching with speed. Christ is going to descend. He's going to leave, you see, his current position. Currently, he's seated at the right hand of the majesty of high. He's seated next to his Father in glory. He's enjoying his Father's presence. He's enjoying all the worship of angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. Christ is going to leave all of that for a moment, that elevated position, and he's going to come down. And this was promised. Christ promised it. Christ told his disciples this event would occur. Angels promised it. You know that when Jesus ascended up into the clouds, the angel said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come, he said, in like manner. He will return. Christ is coming again. And we're closer to it today than we were last time we met. We're closer to it today than we were even this morning. And you note that Christ talks about this event here with a certainty. He says the hour is coming. He shall descend with a shout. He will come on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is such a certainty. There's a day coming when the Lord Jesus shall return. He'll return personally. He'll return bodily. It will be sudden. It will be unexpected. Many will be living utterly thoughtless of this event. Others will be scoffing at it. Many will be eating, drinking. They'll be engaging in all the things of this world, in all its sin, all its pleasure. They'll be planning, they'll be scheming, they'll be thinking about what tomorrow's going to bring, and many will be surprised. They'll be surprised just as they were in Noah's day when the flood came. Christ will come like a thief in the night, and his return will be visible. Every eye shall see him. And we know that those who are alive at his coming, they shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at that last trump. Changed. Christ is coming again. This world is heading and hastening to this great conclusion. Friends, this evening, let me ask you, are you aware of this very basic fact that's reiterated over and over again in the scriptures? The world, of course, where there is so much sin, this world where there's so much pain, so much sorrow, where there's so much disappointment, it's coming to a conclusion. It's heading towards this hour that Jesus Christ mentions. It's an appointed time. I don't know when that hour will be. We could spend all night speculating as to when it might be or how close we are to it. We don't know, but it is certain. What I can say with absolute confidence is that this world will not end when the climate scientists say it will end. It will not end because of climate change and the things that we do on this earth. It will end when Christ appears and speaks. Christ says here, there's an hour coming. This world is heading to a conclusion. But let's note another very basic observation from these words of Christ. And it's this: death is not the end. Death is not the end. I was reading something last week and it had this question. It said this: name the world's great conquerors. That was his opening line. If you were to answer that question, I wonder who you would include in your list of great conquerors in the world. Well, this piece, this article, there was a list of certain people: Alexander the Great, Napoleon Bonaparte, Genghis Khan, Charlemagne, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus the Great, Attila the Hun, all these lists of great conquerors. But then it said, after this list of men who have made, of course, many notable conquests, it said, you've missed the greatest. There's one conqueror who is greater than any of the above. One conqueror who makes all the others pale into insignificance. They're not even worthy of being mentioned in the same breath as this conqueror. And it said, of course, I'm speaking of death. Death. The king of terrors. And for thousands of years, this king of terrors, he's carried on, hasn't he, his dreadful work of destruction. Everything that has breath falls eventually to his scepter of power and has to bow before him. Of course, the first man to feel this stroke, you remember, was the man Abel. And from that moment on in history, death has just continued his terrible sway over all the earth. He's a conqueror who's even tonight, isn't he, to be found in every city of our lands. He's prowling around the streets, houses, hospitals. He's everywhere. He's here tonight in Ripon. He's a conqueror who's utterly indiscriminate, isn't he? It doesn't matter who he chooses. It doesn't matter when he chooses and the manner in which he's going to bring his conquest to an end. It doesn't matter. He's indiscriminate. And the scripture tells us, doesn't it? It's appointed unto man once to die. All of us must at some point, sooner or later, keep this appointment with this conqueror. It's an appointment that we cannot avoid. We cannot escape. And we go through life, don't we, with death's shadow looming over us all the time. We know that, you know, whatever bond we have in this life with our loved ones, our wife, our husband, whoever it might be, whatever ties we have with people, at some point that tie will be broken and there's separation. We can't escape that. It's inevitable because death comes. He's such an unrelenting foe, isn't he? He pursues us throughout this life. He follows us. He haunts us. We live in this constant fear because we don't know the day. We don't know the hour when he's going to come for us. Death is such a mighty conqueror. And as we look at this world, we see the effects, don't we, of his constant campaign. We see the hurt he leaves behind. We see the pain he leaves in his wake, the tears, the heartache. This earth is just one vast graveyard. Generation after generation has followed one another, and those words, dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return, they just ring out across this world. Multitudes lie, don't they, this very night in the dust of the ground or in the depths of the sea, and they rot. Their beauty is just long since gone. Youthfulness gone, strength, their ideas, their enthusiasm, their knowledge, their desires, all gone. And they've become the prey of worms and other creatures because death, you see, this conqueror has come. And you think about it, for some it comes very early, some it comes even in the womb, for some it comes when they're young, others when they're older and they've lived a long life, some perhaps died in war, others through disaster, some it's disease, but all have left this world. And it doesn't matter, does it, what rank, what position, what influence, what power. Princes as well as paupers lie together in the dust. Doesn't matter, does it, how wise, how educated, all come to the grave. Death has come. There's not a place, is there, on earth where death's presence isn't known. But you see what Christ says here. He says, yes, while death is a mighty conqueror, death is not the end. This hour that is coming, this moment in history when Christ shall appear in glory, Christ says, all that are in the graves are going to hear his voice and they're going to come forth. Death is not the end. The dead are going to be summoned by Christ. They're going to come forth. Death, friends, is not the end. And this is important, I think, to understand, because we live today, don't we, in an age when we're told this world is all there is. This life is just the sum and the total to all of your existence. We're just molecules all sort of bundled together, and when you die, it's over. You're only going to live on really as a memory in a few people's lives. Your body's just going to rot. The chemicals and the organic matter that made up who you are, they just pass back into the earth. They're going to be used by worms and trees and all the other creatures. And so the circle of life just continues. That's all you are. You're just part of a cycle of life. You're just another cog, a little cog in this wheel of existence that's just turning over and over. That's what we're told today. Of course, this is the humanistic and evolutionary way of thinking that's just so prevalent today. You see stickers, you see on people's cars, one life, live it. That's exactly the attitude of the ungodly and the unthinking person. It's eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. Enjoy your career. Enjoy your family. Please yourself. Throw everything into having the best time. Get the most out of your short existence on this little globe. It's all you've got. And there's no thought for eternity. No thought for what Christ makes plain here, that there's life after death, there's a world to come. Friends, have you thought of this? Have you considered it seriously? You know, deep down in the hearts of people, I think know this. You walk around graveyards. Look at the poems that people write and put on the grave of their deceased loved one. Look at the messages. Look at the trinkets that they leave there. Look at the things that they write. See you. Or you're looking down from above. We know you're playing in the theatre of dreams. Deep down, you see, within people's heart, there's an uneasy feeling. There must be more. Christ says, you see here, death's not the end. One day he's going to appear and all are going to be raised. All are going to stand upon the earth, as Job said. All are going to face Jesus Christ. Death is not the end. Well, let's move on to a third observation that we see here. We've seen this world is coming to a conclusion. That's going to be when Christ appears. We've seen that death is not the end for us. But we can add here just another very simple observation. All will be raised. All will be raised. Christ makes that so clear here. He makes it so clear. There are no distinctions. All, he says here, that are in the graves shall hear his voice. All who've died. That's what Christ means here. When he talks about the grave here, he's not saying just those who've been buried and placed in a grave. He's talking about everyone who's died, whether they've drowned at sea, whether they've burned in fire, whether they've been blown up in an atomic bomb, whatever's happened, all who are dead shall be raised, great and small, young and old. It's universal. None are going to miss out on this event. And as we noted earlier, those who are alive when this hour comes, they will join in this great event as well. They shall not go through the process of death and being buried and so on, but they are going to be changed. And the dead are going to be raised. And just as Christ, you see, came out of that tomb and was raised to this new life, so all are going to leave the grave. The body's going to be united again with the soul, that soul which never dies. The same body, you see, that was placed in the earth is going to be resurrected. And the dead shall be made alive and are going to stand upon the earth. They're going to face Christ. And you note here the cause of all of this. You notice how Christ puts it. He says there in verse 28, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. They're going to hear the voice of Christ. They're all going to be raised because all are going to hear him speak, all without exception. You remember Lazarus when he was in the tomb and the Lord Jesus Christ came to his tomb. He'd been dead for 4 days. And you remember how the Lord Jesus Christ stood at that tomb and he calls out to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, who was dead in that tomb, heard the voice of Jesus Christ. So on this day, multitudes who are dead are going to hear that same voice. Not a single person on that day will be able to shut their ears to the voice of Jesus Christ. People of all ranks and all ages throughout the world are going to have to give heed to what Christ says. And yet, how many people, whilst living here on earth, have stopped their ears and turned away from the voice of Christ? Think of how many have heard his pleas to turn from sin and to seek the Lord, and yet they've spurned his gracious call. How many have heard the wonderful, tuneful overtures of the gospel telling people to repent and believe in the Saviour, but they've ignored this message, this glorious message of salvation. They heard it, but they've ignored it. And yet when this hour comes, all are going to hear his voice. All are going to obey his voice. Those spirits, you know, that languish in hell, they're going to hear it. The spirits of just men made perfect in heaven are going to hear it. All on earth are going to hear it. This will be a summons, you see, that's heard in every corner of the world, and all are going to come forth. And friends, tonight, you may have shut your ears in times past to the call of Christ, but you can't do it forever. The same Jesus Christ which you have spurned in this life is the same Jesus who's going to descend and call you on that day. It's the same Jesus Christ who, if you look in verse 22, says this, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, will be Jesus Christ, your judge, on that day. Let me ask you, are you ready for that? Are you ready to stand before the person that you've ignored, that you've rejected, that you've scoffed at, that you've laughed at, that you've turned away from? Are you ready for that, to stand before him? Friends, do you see here, these things are not to be made light of. This Jesus Christ, he's going to come, he's going to descend, he's going to call you forth. Are you ready for that? But notice a fourth thing here, another observation that we see tonight. And I want you to notice this here. The fourth thing is this: not all go to heaven. Not all go to heaven. We live today in a world that seems to think the only requirement for heaven is death. Only death is what's required for the gates of heaven just to swing open and let everybody in. Isn't that what we see today? Once someone dies, how many people just speak about their loved ones or the celebrity, whoever it is, they just speak about them immediately as looking down, as being in heaven. But Christ makes it so plain here that when this hour comes, when Christ appears and the dead are called forth and all are raised, he makes it clear here there are two resurrections, as we said at the start, a resurrection of life and a resurrection of damnation. And the two are so vastly different. One describes the resurrection of believers. That's the resurrection of life. This is those, you see, who've turned from sin, who've trusted in this Christ, who've looked to him as their Savior. They've yielded their lives to him. And because of faith, you see, in Christ, they've been born again. Their lives have been transformed. It's grace. All of God's grace in their life. It's God's mercy, his kindness to them. And the believer becomes this new creature in Christ. And their lives display it, displays this fruit of the Spirit. There's love, there's joy, there's this peace, there's goodness. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of here. They that have done good, they're not saved because of good works. They're saved for good works. And they exhibit this goodness in their life, the goodness of Jesus Christ. And Christ says they are going to be raised on this day to this resurrection of life. This is the most remarkable change. It's the most glorious improvement you could ever think of. You see these programs on television, you know, these renovation, you know, we're going to take this dilapidated building and we're going to make it into a fabulous new home. Well, let me tell you, friends, this is the most glorious restoration you could ever imagine. The most remarkable change takes place, raised to eternal life, eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal happiness, raised and changed, and the body's fitted for heaven. The vile body is wonderfully transformed. That body which was placed in the ground in weakness, it's raised in power. It was sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. For the Christian, you see, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. And death, you see, swallowed up in victory. The believer is going to be blessed with a body that's far superior in strengths and qualities and capacities. The body's no longer going to be a burden to our souls. They're both going to be perfectly united. A body and a soul fit for one another. No longer, you see, the believer is going to sigh. No longer is the believer going to be those who cry and shed penitential tears over sin. No longer the groans. No longer those pains. No, the believer is going to shout forth and is going to sing the glory of God. All the senses. Oh, before they were just avenues of pain and grief. You look on and you see sin. In your body you feel so much grief and pain. But all the senses that before were these avenues of pain, they now become organs for praise and for exalted pleasure and for rejoicing. There's just delight now. This is the resurrection that awaits the Christian. It's the resurrection of life. It's heaven. This is what Christ is speaking of here. It's wonderful. I can see your faces here tonight. I'm not expressing this enough. You don't grasp this. This is just wonderful. But Christ says not everyone is going to receive this resurrection. He says there's another resurrection. It's a resurrection, he says, of damnation. It's a resurrection of eternal condemnation. It's hell. And it's for those, he says here, who've done evil. It's for those who've continued, you see, in their life of sin. They fail to love the Lord their God. They've deliberately not heeded his voice. They've turned away, spurned him. He says, you too are going to be raised. You too are going to be given a new body. It's going to have new qualities. It's going to have new capacities. It's also going to be a body that's immortal, but not so that you can enjoy and delight and show pleasure. It's going to have new capacities, new qualities for misery, for pain, for suffering. Friends, this evening, don't be hoodwinked by Satan and this world that says, you know, just live life as you please and feed your lusts and satisfy yourselves here and now and live for number one. Don't listen to Satan's lies. Because at the end of the day, friends, there is a resurrection of damnation. You know, the Satan will say to you, you're just going to go to heaven anyway. That's a terrible lie. It's a wicked lie. No, faith in Christ is what you need. If you've got no faith in Christ, there's no heaven. If there's no repentance of sin, no heaven. If there's no changed life lived for the Savior, a life lived for goodness and for Christ, no heaven. And so, friends, as I close this evening, let me ask you, as you look at these two resurrections, which resurrection will it be for you? If you live life as a sinner and you die as a sinner, Christ says you'll be raised as a sinner. You'll be raised to damnation. But if you turn, repentance and faith, and you look to Jesus Christ, and you live for him, and you serve him, and you love him, then when you die, you'll die in him. And so you'll be raised in him. And you'll be raised to this resurrection of life. Friends, tonight as I close, can I ask you, think seriously. Think seriously on these things. Jesus says, marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Let's pray.